How are y'all doing this morning? Amen. My Lord, the people that missed worship just missed it, didn't they? It's so sweet. I can't tell you. You know, Vicki, you've been with us the long haul, haven't you? You've been here longer than I have. And I don't know when worship has ever been so good. I mean, the Lord blessed us when we had CDs. That was good. And I believe His grace was on us for that season. But I so appreciate our musicians and what they're doing and what they're letting God do through them to bless us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just so sweet. Robin's going to come on up here, and we're just going to share with y'all a little bit of what we shared Wednesday night in terms of where we believe the Lord is taking us and why. And I want to, before we actually begin, I want to mention something. As long as we are in this location, I want you to know we're committed here, and we're committed to y'all. You know, you're not going to come to church one Sunday. Listen, I've got flesh. Anybody realize that? I've got flesh. There's been a time or two when I came in here and nobody was here, and I thought, well, next Sunday maybe I won't show up, you know, and I won't call nobody. And, you know, but I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do it to Jesus. Amen. Even if you and I had an out, I wouldn't do it to Him. And, you know, I want you to know we're committed to you, and there's some things the Lord's put on my heart. I know Zach had shown me a couple of catalogs. It's been a while back about some banners that we could get and things like that, or a company that makes signs. Do you know what I'm talking about? I just kind of assumed you knew. But anyway, you know, some things. That, and really, when he showed them to me, I wasn't really thinking a lot about that. But Robin and I were talking yesterday as well. She's come across some things. And we're praying about this, and we this is a group effort. It's not a one-man show, and so we invite you to pray as well. I really believe that there are people, in spite of the ones maybe we can't reach here, there are people that are in this city and in this region that we can get to, and I'd like to get as many as we can as long as we're here. And, you know, when we're talking about moving, do you understand we're open to any option from God? If He tells us to go a block down the road just where we'll get more exposure, we're willing to do that. I don't care where He tells us to go. I mean, I'd like Hawaii. I'd like someplace like that, or maybe some mountains. But, you know, I'm open to anything He tells us to do. Maybe Trinidad, right? I'm open to whatever He tells us to do. And we do know there are examples of churches that have relocated literally a block away from their old location. And whereas they were dying on the vine, it seemed like, in one place, they began to thrive and grow into mega churches just a block away. So we're not opposed to whatever God tells us to do. And we invite your prayers. We invite all the prayer we can get. But meanwhile, we're committed here. And I've been thinking, we keep running into people that say, y'all are still out there. I heard you moved to Tennessee. I hadn't told anybody we'd moved to Tennessee. Amen. I love Tennessee. If God told me to go to Tennessee, I'd probably go. But He hasn't told me to go to Tennessee that I know of, not unless I slept through it. So anyway, you know, the point is we're here. And we want to do some things. We talked to two different people yesterday that were telling us, well, so-and-so said that nobody's back there anymore. And, you know, there have been some people that left us disgruntled, and they'd only like to believe there's nobody back here anymore. But you're here. I'm here. Somebody's back here, right? Jesus is here. And so anyway, as we're sharing with you, I want you to keep that in mind. We're not planning to surprise we're gone. You know, you're as much a part of this as we are. There are certain things that we've got to abide by even legally in terms of what happens with this ministry and this property and everything else. So it's not like, you know, blink your eyes and we're gone and everything's fine. That could never happen. It won't ever happen if it could. So anyway, we're praying as well about looking into getting some signage out there. We're still here to let people know. Because evidently some people, if people are thinking we're not out here, somebody's thinking about us being here or not being here. Maybe they were thinking about coming back here and they were discouraged because they thought we weren't. Well, we can fix that. Amen. And I believe we've got a message to share. I really, I'm praying about how the Lord wants me to do some things, but I've contemplated bringing a little bit more emphasis back to my personal testimony some on Sunday mornings, doing some thrust that way in terms of reaching people. How many of you know somebody that's life's been touched by suicide? I think most of us know somebody at this, you know, in this day and hour that their life's been touched by. How many of you have ever heard it said that anybody that commits suicide went straight to hell? That's what the church has taught doctrinally for years, as though it was from God, and it's not true. It's not true. Amen? And so, I mean, we don't advocate, we don't encourage people to commit suicide by any means, but, you know, it's so sad. My family has known the torment of looking into the eyes of a mother whose son committed suicide. I'm not talking about me now. I'm talking about somebody else. This boy committed suicide. They had the funeral, and at the funeral it was preached that he went to hell. There's no hope in that for anybody. And you know, it's just so sad that kind of nonsense has gone on and does go on. And how many of you have known anybody that was tempted with suicide? How many of you have been? Don't even hold your hand up if you've ever been. You know, we've got something to offer people from the Word of God that will help them, and even from my personal experience, I believe that will help them. You know, can you imagine, what if you lived in Bethany and you heard about this guy Lazarus that was Jesus' best buddy? You know, they were tight. And suddenly you got word that he called out for Jesus, and Jesus didn't show up, and Lazarus died. And then suddenly Jesus shows up. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Amen. And Jesus wasn't daunted. He looked at them when they were all, you know, they'd resigned themselves to, it's all said and done, he's in the tomb, he stinks now. And Jesus said I not, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He didn't make it hard. He said, if you'll just believe. Just believe what? Believe him. Believe the word. And then can you imagine when Lazarus, you know, the first thing, remember Jesus called Lazarus forth? He's walking to the tomb, and he kind of, you know, you can just sense that he's drawn back to the Father and away from the people a bit as he says, Father, I thank you that you hear me and you always hear me. And then he gets to the tomb and gets that word of encouragement, he stinks now. What was she going to do, just say, leave him there, he stinks, it's, you know. But Jesus commanded, he said, Lazarus, come forth. You know what? And then do you remember what else he did? He told the others to unwrap him, essentially. Because he was still in the trappings of death. He was somewhat of a mummy. He was wrapped up. Amen. Maybe that's where they got the idea for the movie, you think? The first thing I would have done is pulled it off his mouth. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. What was it like? Amen. I've been. I can tell you about it. I don't know everything, but I know my experience, and I know it's scriptural. And it amazes me. It amazes me. Have you noticed that anybody that can claim a death experience and get on Oprah? Amen. Used to be in my day Mike Douglas. Get on Mike Douglas. Anybody that can do that, suddenly everything they say is gospel. And it's not. What I mean is this. It's like they can say or they can do no wrong, and whatever theory they have is right. The thing that was most amazing to me was how my experience was harmonizing with God's word. I experienced God's word before I even lived, or before I even studied it, in terms of what I lived out in that experience. And I want to help people. You know, the one thing I came away from my death experience with more than anything was how easy it was that I had gone to heaven instead of hell, how little I deserved it if anybody did, and the fact that if we just tell people how much God loves them and that Jesus is the answer that they need, the only answer they need. You know, it's so sad today. We've got so many people at the church that have become gospel police. They want to tell folks who can and cannot come to church. And you know what? If I was to eliminate anybody, do you know who it would be? The self-righteous, legalistic, bullheaded people that think they're perfect and they're the ones that judge all else. Amen. Absolutely. And you know, it's sad to say, but we've had some folks over the years that have been that way. And we've got to watch it. How many of you have ever found yourself, oh man, I sound too much like that preacher on TV. You ever, not the good one, not Joel. I like Joel, by the way. I'm tired of people ragging on Joel. Amen. He is. Listen, if it wasn't for what his daddy taught and what he's teaching many today, what Joel's teaching many today, there's a lot of people that you'd have to be avoiding outside on those streets because they'd be gunning for you. They'd be crazy as I was. I was mean, folks, and I would have just thought that was my lot in life had it not been for the Word of God that was taught through such men as John Osteen and the kind of things that Joel's teaching today. You understand, if Joel came out and just quoted word for word the scriptures, there's not a lot of people that listen to him right now. And so he puts it in our terms today. And it's God. It is absolutely God. Amen. I don't know why I got off on that so much, but I know for a fact what his family has done. I've seen it on the mission field. I know they fund medical missions in Africa. They're touching lives, more lives than you could dream of. And he doesn't even receive a salary from his church. He could and he should, absolutely. I believe, you know, but he doesn't. The salary he receives is from the profits from what books he's written. But he's got a right to so much more and he doesn't take it because he's dedicated it to ministry and reaching others. Amen. Is he living in a nice home? Yeah, I hope he is. You know, the Bible says that the elder that ruleth well is worthy of double honor. Do you know what that means? That means that if God had it his way, the preacher would be making about twice what everybody else in the church is making. The highest salary of everybody else in the church. Amen? And we're down here nitpicking because they have to live in a gated community because if they didn't, they wouldn't have a moment's rest. There's something wrong. But we're not here to preach about Joel. We're not here to preach about me. Amen? We're here to talk about Jesus. And so we wanted to share with you, you know, what's going on here in terms of what we've been experiencing. This is all new to us. We related this Wednesday night in terms of relocation. We never anticipated ever relocating, at least not in this way. I did at one point, I presumed, you know, it's kind of funny because rumors years ago were that I'd stole this church from my father-in-law. And the truth was, we were trying to guard and protect this work and preserve it by the grace of God and the Lord's instruction so that one day her daddy would be restored. And he fought us tooth and toenail, bless his heart. He didn't believe, you know, we tend to judge people in the context of our own attitudes and motives. And he just presumed we were just as ruthless as he, because he was pretty ruthless. I saw somebody yesterday that was one of his best friends at one time had warned me. He said, you got no idea how many times you've been in the crosshairs of the scope of his rifle. And he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding at all. We are. By the grace of God. Amen. And so anyway, you know, our heart was to, maybe on that basis, we might one day leave and go do something else. But beyond that, we always presume this work would just be here, and yet times have changed, and there are other things that have come into play that have affected us, and so that's why we're sensing and have been for a while sensing that the Lord's got a change or a shift in direction for us, and we really invite your prayers. It's not been easy for us. It's not been easy for our church members, and listen, there are people that have left us recently, and I'll be honest with you, it's kind of bittersweet because I love them. I'm their pastor. You know, people think, well, you know, I miss so-and-so. Well, listen, we miss them too. We love them. Now, not all of them were happy with us, and some of them have downright lied about us. Big deal, big deal. Still love them. You know, they're still not my enemy. I might be theirs, and they're thinking, but they're not my, because my enemy's the devil. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. And we're still praying for those folks. But on the other hand, we can see why probably some needed to leave because they had some issues. I mean, we had one situation where somebody had family member that we were trying to draw in, woo in, and trying to minister the love of God to. And when the family started responding, the family that was here started fighting us and fighting them. And at this point, they look like everything's tight with all them again, but that won't last because it's you know, it's just so goofy. If you're not building on the foundation of God and His Word, then you got a problem. And if you're using conniving, manipulative actions and lies and deceit, you're building a house of cards and they're slick. Amen. So anyway, let me hush and let Robin share with you a little bit. And we're going to be talking, though, a little bit more about, you know, things a little bit closer to home in terms of people. You know, I've got a series coming up I'm working on now, The Empowered Life, Taking Control. You know, we've been talking about living in your victory, but we're going to talk about how to get there a little bit more directly and a little bit more specifically. I was telling Mark earlier, I was praying the other day, and there's some people I've been praying for, some of those challenges I've been praying for. And I'm just believing God's at work within them to will and to do of His good pleasure. But you know what? I told the Lord, I said, I wish You'd hurry up. Amen. You ever notice we want Him to hurry on everybody but us, right? I told Jesus a couple of them, I think this is overtime, Lord. You need to stick with this. Don't take any breaks. Amen.
To touch base on some things we shared. Those of you who were here Wednesday heard some of the things that we shared, so bear with us, but this gives us an opportunity to invite, which we do now. Father, we thank You for Your wisdom. We thank You for helping us to share what needs to be shared in Jesus' name. Lord, we are submitted and surrendered to You. This isn't about us. This isn't about a church. This is about You. This is about Your mission. This is about what You've called every believer to. We thank You, Father, that You're helping us to clarify clearly Your heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I think I had shared some time back that just in the last, 4 months, whenever I was in a prayer time, the Lord just, I had a vision, and I say that, I'm kind of hesitant to say that, can you tell? Because it stood out so to me that it, you know, I couldn't compose myself whenever God shared it with me, whenever I saw it. And it was of multitudes that God wants our lives to impact. Now, I want to say something. We've said some things have begun to come to light for us, and some of the things that we shared, God's been showing us things. Do you know God can show you something? You can have an impression in your heart, but we do not budge until God gives us Scripture. We need Scripture. Mm-hmm. We need the Word of God. We need a solid foundation. And this ministry, John Vogel had said it well, like others that God is using, our goal is not to live your life for you. Our goal is to equip you so that you will have the tools you need in your life. And every one of us are in unique situations. Every one of us have unique challenges. But it's so funny because whenever we walk away from services, the Holy Spirit ministers and different people hear different things. We've had ladies' prayer at times where different ones of us got totally different things from the anointing because of the way that the Lord ministered to us. And what we've begun to see is nothing unusual, but we were talking about probably a year ago, how the Lord showed us, Jesus said it, Paul said it as well in the New Testament, that if you're somewhere that you're not received, to shake the dust off your feet and go to the next place. And it's interesting because how many of us, just on a practical level, how many of us want and enjoy for our children, our adult kids, because a lot of us have adult kids here or not, how many of us like for our kids or our loved ones to be rejected? You know, we don't like that. We don't like that because we know we see the gifts that are in them. We see the potential that is in them. And it's real important as a parent, you want your kid treated thusly, you know. And so we began to see, we have been, you know, challenged. I had brought up Wednesday night about how for Easter, I asked how many of y'all saw all the visitors that were here for Easter, and we all went, and I said, yeah, us too. And the point being, God brought some very specific materials across our path, and it's done by, it's a compilation from different pastors, from different ministers who have years and years and years of experience combined. And what they did is they pegged patterns, and they pegged essentially what they're describing are spiritual laws. How many of us know, and I'm not just, there are natural laws, and to me they're hitting on spiritual and natural laws. If I go stand out on the roof and I jump off the roof, am I going to float up? I'm not going to float up. And the reason that I'm not is because there is a natural law of gravity.
Amen.
Well, there are also natural laws socially as to who each of us receive from. And it's so funny because if we stop and we think about people that God has used in our lives, something about them resonated with something in us. That's how God ministers. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just, and it's funny because you'll look back. I don't know, you know, to me, I don't know if you've done this or not. I've looked back and I've seen people who tried to minister to me, and I didn't have ears to hear what they were trying to share with me. It wasn't that I didn't want to hear it. Somehow I just didn't have ears to hear what they, and they were telling me the same thing someone else did, but something about them, you know, maybe I had my defenses up or whatever. Well, we've learned, and we brought out Wednesday evening, that there are natural laws socially, and we were talking about things to do with neighborhoods. And I asked, how many people here, and I'm going to ask it again, how many people here have lived in the Highlands area or the north side of Jacksonville at any time? At any time. Now, I was born and raised here. Born and raised on the north side of Jacksonville in older Highlands. The reason that I asked that question, I'm going to ask one more question. How many people... how many of you still live in Highlands or this immediate area? Not many. And the reason that I asked that is because whenever you start seeing, what happens is there are communities and neighborhoods have a lifespan. We talked about it Wednesday. And what that means is it doesn't mean that there are no people there. It means that things have shifted and changed so that the people group in, and this was real true. A real good example of this is where Mike grew up and his family grew up. There was a time they would go in the mangroves and play as kids unsupervised. They would disappear for hours on end to play in the woods.
and then at the city dump, our favorite.
And at the city dump, the really good place. But anyway, whenever, you know, and the point being, over the years, there began, and I remember after Mike and I married, we would go visit his family and began seeing signs. And this isn't, and I want to be real careful. This is real important to understand this. Anyone who comes to any church that believes Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, this is our heartbeat. If you feel that you belong, you belong. I don't care
Amen.
Who you are. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you're going. And that's the heartbeat of Christ. We have to recognize, though, there are natural laws as to how we each relate to different people. And so what they have discovered is when there is a shift in a community, and I asked how many. See, many of us who were here have left, or we have found some of us are in, we're in a pocket. I would call it a pocket because we're at the end of a dead-end road. We're on a creek. So two sides of our property is creek. And so our road, we have older neighbors and what have you. And the thing is, it's like a more comfortable area. But we've been challenged. And I have noticed that whenever Mike starts riding his bike for exercise, and he'll say, I'm going to go for a ride or I'm going to go for a walk, I'm like, baby, are you packing? You know, make sure you don't forget. You know, and listen, we're not looking for trouble. And don't even say to me that's negative faith. God gave us a brain. We need to use it. You know, so anyway, there have just been a shift in some things. And Victoria and I we're like, well, we could get exercise and go up to the end of our road and come back and go up to the end of our road and come back. You know, we're very limited. We're very limited in the natural. And it's not, we're not walking in fear. There are just natural things we have to recognize. You know what? There are some places that I remember years gone by, I would go shopping, you know, within a 5 mile radius at 10 o'clock at night and think nothing of it. And I won't do it now. Because things have shifted and things have changed. And there's been a few times that whenever I found myself in that situation, I would be going to my car and just sense, lock the doors, lock the doors, lock the doors, lock the, you know, and like lock them. And then somebody walk up and start talking to me, you know, and I realize, God bless them. And I pray, I'm praying for them, but I can see that they're not their self. You know, there's some natural things that they are using, and so you're not seeing the real person. And we pray for people. We're here for people like that. I want to see what the world thinks are lost causes come to Christ. We want to see, and we want something raised up, because here's what we've recognized, and let me go back super fast. Having grown up in Highlands, I remember what this community was like at Christmas time. Everyone had lights in their yards. Throughout the year, people landscaped. People would put down new St. Augustine sod all the time. They'd put down sand to get it, you know, growing better all the time. We had parents that would just flood our elementary schools in this area to help set up for fall festivals and things like that. Nowadays, they don't even have the same type of. And I know everything changes, but we've heard people say the dads don't come and help in this area anymore like they used to. And that's not a slam on dads. I think the devil is fighting men in our society at large.
Amen.
So things have shifted and things have changed. And what occurs is, and I love this example that these pastors brought out. They said, have you ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? We have. That's one of our favorite movies. It's so silly and so not a wholesale endorsement, so just don't even go there. But anyway, you can see where there was a subculture, you know, and I'm trying to break this down. You have a culture at large. Jacksonville is a culture at large made up of a lot of subcultures, a mosaic, if you will. And so what occurs is there in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, people were drawn to one another who wanted to preserve the old ways, who wanted to preserve traditions, who wanted to preserve things they understood and had grown up that was important to them. And so what happens is when you have a shift in any community, and all communities change. Everything is always changing. Remember, we were talking about all things are growing, all things are changing, and anything that isn't growing or changing is dead. And so things are always changing. But what occurs is you have kids that grow up. They go out to school. They relocate in further outlying areas, very typically, if not out of town or out of state. And you begin having a shift in the subculture. And I shared something. I'm going to share it again. And this is real important. One of their quotes I really appreciate. It's not about color. It's about culture. And it's important that we know that, because we have always, I tell you, one of the things that's blessed us with Pastor John Osteen's church, now Pastor Joel Osteen's, is we love the mix of cultures that are represented there.
Amen.
Now what occurs is you find yourself being less and less received in a community, and it's not because the people are bad, and it's not because there's anything wrong with us. What's occurring is we are no longer resonating with the people in a community like we used to. And there are intimidations. How many of y'all have sensed there are intimidations with cultures? If I walked into a Korean church, remember Manny and Kay went here, and Kay would go to the early service at the Korean church. If I walked into a Korean church of believers, they're wonderful people. There's nothing wrong with them, but I would feel out of place. And part of the reason I would feel out of place is it's not part of my culture to speak Korean. I wouldn't understand 99% of what's being said there. And essentially, that's what you begin seeing whenever a community changes, and all communities change. And so we appreciated some of the things. Here's a quote from Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, that I shared. I want to share it again. And he's talking about how, as churches, we need to play to our strengths. You know, I mean, people who are in a career, they develop skills, they go to school or classes, they develop skills, and they don't ask you when you come, they don't say, John, you don't know how to do any of this that we need done over here. How about you come over here into this area of where we need things done, where you don't know how to do this part, you know, or whatever. They don't ask him in construction to come into the area he doesn't have expertise in. John doesn't want the area he doesn't have expertise in, but he knows what he knows, and he knows how to tell people to get done what they need to get done in his area of expertise. And the same is true in the body of Christ. We have strengths. There's a message that we share in this ministry, and it's the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. We have a heart. We asked you before Wednesday, do you know what our vision is? And someone said, I don't remember who it was. Might have been Wendy. Remember? Do y'all remember? In a nutshell, yeah? What is it? What is it? That I may know him? That we may know him? That others may know him. That's a real small way of saying our lives were given to us to make a difference. And I got to tell you, we're not satisfied anymore. And the reason we're not satisfied is we have sensed the lack of the ability to make a difference in this location. And again, this isn't a slam on the people, because what we shared with y'all is if the gifts that are within us are not being received, it has come to our attention the strengths and the gifts that are in each of you are also not being. And again, I'm going to come up with a better way to say that, because I feel like we live our lives feeling accepted or rejected in different ways. It's not about being rejected. It's just about not being from the same culture. And so there are people, and remember, I don't know if y'all remember, sometime back we said that we have noticed that we have a particular draw with people who are oddly, pretty typically from Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana, Alabama. I'm forgetting one.
Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah, Arkansas. You know, but southeastern region. We have noticed over the years that people that have plugged in, and I don't mean they're all from there, but a lot of times their parents were from these places or their grandparents were from these places. And we just have a particular rapport with people, with a culture. We come from a culture where we don't want to buy a new car every year. We want to run the one we have into the ground. It's a good car. It's paid for. We're going to keep it going, because as long as we do that, we can direct our resources to other things. And listen, that's just a culture thing. I was thinking, we just went the other day, we were in St. Mary's, we had to pick something up, and Mike had to get gas. And what was that, a 1977 Ford, wasn't it?
74. Was it 77?
I thought it was a 77 Ford. Yeah. It was this old white Ford truck with a white topper, and this, oh, it was sweet. It had red right down, you know,
red
the center all the way around. Red panels on it. It was, I think I'd really like one of those.
her granddaddy had one that was not nearly as luxurious.
He did. He had the, and I recognized it because the fenders are identical. And so anyway, I'm just saying, I remember my grandparents, they ran their cars and they kept them going and ran them into the ground. I'm not saying you're wrong if you want to buy a car every year. If you want to buy a car every year, more power to you. Go you. I'm just saying that there are thoughts and there are approaches that are common to a culture. And so here's the thing. We have had, and this has been hard, guys. This has been real hard. We feel like racehorses in the chute. Have you ever seen racehorses in the chute? I mean, they act like chihuahuas, only bigger. But they're like bumping and they're like busting into it and they're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. Because they've done it so many times, those racehorses know that the chute's about to open and they know that they're about to tear out for all they're worth. And whether or not they know what's going on or what they're really doing doesn't matter. They know what they have been bred and trained to do, and everything within them when they're in that chute is waiting to get out of the chute and go do what they know how to do. And so that's the way we've begun to feel more and more and more. And we've had glimpses, we've had visions. And why are we sharing this? Because what's going on the inside of us is probably going on the inside of you. Oh my goodness, it has been a challenge to come. It has been a challenge to be here. Not because we don't love you. Don't read you into this. This isn't about you. It has been challenging because we're like, get, you know, and it reminds me of the passage in the Old Testament where he says, give me my mountain. I want my mountain. Yeah. It's time for me to have my mountain. And what does that mean? There was a promise made that, who was that? Who am I thinking
Caleb.
Of? Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, that was it. Caleb, he'd been promised a mountain. For several years, he helped others around him who were younger
even
than him.
Even after they went in, yeah.
When they first went in, take their mountain. You know what? We've got the goods. We've got what it takes. God has put on the inside of us what is needed to reach the world around us. And the hard part has been the shift because we never thought in terms of having to ever go to a different location. But it's so funny because I want you to think about some churches. North Jackson Baptist didn't used to be where they're at. I remember where they used to be 25, 35 years ago. They weren't on Main Street. New Life didn't start where they're at. Journey, we've got Journey, we've got Celebration. Those churches, it's not uncommon for churches to relocate in order to, but it's twofold. It's not because they disrespect where they're at or our roots. It's because there is a growing hunger to be where you can impact people. I'm going to tell you, folks, we want to train everyone how to pray the prayer of salvation because wherever we're going, wherever it is, there are going to be people coming to Christ. And it's going to be too many for us to pray with alone at the end of services. And so God has placed a vision on the inside of us. And I'm going to move forward because I didn't share what Rick Warner said, did I? Sorry. Oopsie. Rick Warren, this was just a really good information, you know, take away from this. He said, the church that claims to reach everyone is only fooling themselves because no church can reach everyone. I mean, we all get what he's saying, right? The church that claims to reach everyone is only fooling themselves. Doesn't mean we don't accept everyone, but we're not necessarily gifted at reaching everyone. Okay, so he goes on to say, no style of church can possibly reach everyone. Take a close look and you'll find that every church has a culture. This culture is determined by the predominant kind of people who make up the congregation. Whoever your church has right now is who you're likely to attract more of, whether you like the fact or not. In other words, you can have outreaches to different subcultures, but this goes on and it's very informative. The way that it's done is they pray and God brings in someone who is from that subculture that subculture will receive from. You know, and if they can't bring someone in, what they do is they go where a body of believers, a congregation, goes where they can get a grounded. I feel like an oak tree. You know, I'm saying a lot of weird things here today, but you're just going to have, you know, I'm trying to get this across. I feel like an oak tree. Our roots are going down. They're going down deep. The word that has been, that we have built our lives on is the solid rock foundation. And that's good because a solid foundation is always strong and can bear what it needs to bear when storms come. Storms are always going to come. And so we have got this hunger. We have had this growing hunger. Now listen, I kind of hope that this resonates with some here, if not all here, that sense of dissatisfaction, that sense of restlessness. There's a reason for that. There is one thing to be a malcontent. It's another thing to be divinely restless. There are times in our lives that divine restlessness is there by the Spirit of God. Amen. To lead us to a new place. We have to come to the point that the fear of doing something different is less than the fear of staying like this. And we passed that long ago. We are to a place, and we can see that there is so much ahead of us. What's going to occur is wherever the Lord is taking us as a body of believers is going to be so much, we're going to find such greater expression, and each and every one of us are going to have the anointing that's going to be released to make a difference. We want to make a difference. God wants to use you to make a difference. There are gifts in you to make a difference.
Amen.
And what's going to happen is we're going to be like, why in the world didn't we do this before now? Why in the world did we wait so long? And we're going to kick ourselves a little bit, but it's become such a reality to me. And the Lord brought a scripture to me, shared this Wednesday. It's out of Genesis 50, verse 20. And what that verse says is the Joseph's brothers, their father Jacob had died. You got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Jacob, their father, had died. Joseph was the one who was sold into slavery. He was done dirty dog wrong. He was treated poorly. Potiphar's wife wanted to put the make on him. She had a lust problem. She probably needed her hormones balanced. Deal with that. Bring that testosterone down. Whatever the issue was, she was trying to hit on him. And in the time frame that that he was in their household, he then lied, or she lied about him and set him up. And I got to tell you, it is so hard whenever. You have to let Christ rise up big on the inside of us. Whenever people have a poopy attitude, it's like everything within you wants to straighten them out. And you want to tell them, that is a lie. That is a lie. You know, and you want to. But here's something that we learn as we grow. There are just some fights that ain't worth fighting. We pick in our battles, and we're not going to. The battle we don't pick. We're not defending ourselves. We are doing what the Spirit of God told us to do. And everyone is welcome to be on board with it, because it is so within us. We would literally be in sin if we did not do it. And we're not going to walk in sin. And you're not going to walk in sin. Who wants to compromise just because people don't understand everything? I got to be honest. We don't understand everything, but we're okay with that because we know who does. So the Lord brought the passage to me, and the brothers came to Joseph, and they said, because they were talking among themselves, he's going to be mad for the sin we committed against him. So they go to him in the verse before that. They bow before him. They say, we are your slaves. Our father has died. We are your slaves. And whenever they say that, Joseph, these are the words. These are the words I pray that you will highlight and circle. And every one of us need to write these, and we need to put them everywhere we go. We need to see these words daily, because this is God's word for us. Joseph goes on to say, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, that the lives of many would be saved. So listen to me. Every one of us have gone through rejections. Every one of us have gone through ridiculous, extreme challenges. Every one of us have had places where we wondered how on God's green earth we were going to get from point A to point B, and God still got us. God still took care of us. He is faithful. It's important that we recognize that our past was intended for a divine purpose, so that as we move forward, and I'll tell you, this is going to set you free. You don't give a rat's behind what anybody thinks about you when you get a hold of this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Joseph had made a transition from the place of hurt and challenge and rejection. And why on God's green earth isn't my father Jacob coming and looking for me? I bet for 2 years Joseph thought, Jacob, dad's going to show up. He'll be here any minute. He'll be here. And I bet it took about 2 years for dad not to show up. And if you read through that story, eventually it is revealed before Joseph from his brothers. They still don't know that he's their brother. It's revealed, we can't bring Benjamin, our youngest brother, because he wanted to see his baby brother. And the brothers said, we can't bring Benjamin. Our father would die. Our other brother died. Oh, how interesting. He knew his brothers knew he didn't die. His no good brother sold him. They betrayed him. They backstabbed him. But here's something. Over the years, over the course of time, Joseph learned a second language. He was being groomed for greatness. You're being groomed for greatness. Whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're at, wherever you've come from, and if you're going, what the heck is going on? I'm telling you, you are being groomed for greatness to do a greater work and to make a greater difference. God wants us to make a difference. So Joseph had finally come to the place that when his brothers said this, I don't know. See, because I've been on the other side of that, where I'd be like, you sure did sin against me. What were you thinking? You know, I mean, I'd be wanting to like, well, I won't say that, but I wouldn't be happy, and I would be wanting to set them straight. But here's what occurred. Joseph was in the place. He had finally entered the place, and he could see the difference and the empowerment and the promotion that was only by the hand of God. And he could see the lives, the numbers of lives that were being saved. We've been called to be a part of saving lives from hell. Every one of us, if you're a believer, you've been called to it. But each one of us are going to accomplish it differently. We're going to be different expressions of the gifts within us. But Joseph had finally moved to the place that he was like, oh, you intended it for harm. You intended to harm me. But God, am I not in the place God has put me? God intended it for good, that many would be saved. So something had changed in Joseph. And we have to get this or we can't enter into the next phase. We have to understand the price that has been paid behind us is not nearly as great as the plan that is before us, that is unfolding. The lives, the men, the women, the children who have been told lies about God, they need to know Jesus loves them from Amen. Every culture, every subculture, every group of people. And listen, we got an appetite for them all. So wherever the Lord's taking us, he's bringing them all in. What's going on, though? God is trying to get us to a place that our roots can go down without hitting concrete to the strength necessary that in an area, because this book referred to the fact that there are those who don't know better, there are those who are resistant, and then there are subcultures who are highly resistant to you and the message you have. And so we have come to recognize that explains it. That explains it. Because no matter what we've done or how we've prepared, whatever, and see, here's the thing. We're going to prepare like Jesus himself is coming to church with us. Because number one, Jesus is. And number two, we refuse to do a penny ante, low level, half behind job of anything we do when we're doing it for the kingdom of God. We're giving Amen. It all we got. And I do believe, and I thank God, and this is a good example, God bless our musicians. God bless our sound people. It has taken work, day after day, week after week, to be able to hammer out and shift from karaoke worship and go over to live worship. Seriously, I mean, I laugh about it, but it's been a lot of work. And that's just one area. God wants us, we need to hone the areas of other ministries and outreaches, not because of what we're looking at here, but because of where God is taking us. So it's important to recognize whatever, if you're feeling the same kind of divine discontent, it is for a reason. You should feel discontent. We should be, whenever we don't see a new person come in that we can lead to Christ. We should feel that way when we go out into the world. My God, God can open doors. We can share things. I'm praying about getting a handful of Billy Joe Daugherty's books, Promises to Stand for Our Kids, so we'll have something to pass out to people. I mean, we need to put the Word of God in people's hands. That I can't change people, you can't change people, but God, His Word is all-powerful. And if we Amen. Can just get a seed planted, the Word of God says, one plants and other waters, but God gives the increase. So I've gone like way over, so sorry.
It's okay.
We're endeavoring to share our heart here, and that we haven't lost sight of our purpose. Our purpose has come into clearer focus than it has ever been in our lives, and it's amazing. We're wanting to write books, and I told Mike, the Spirit of God told me that we need to write a book called "God Intended It for Good," because there are too many people that have come from horrid challenges in life, and they're like, have you ever gotten frustrated? I do. We do. Have you ever gotten frustrated with yourself for responding in the same old way? And you know there's better in you, and you know that God has better for you, and you know you're being called to come up higher, and you know that God wants you to walk in healthy connection with healthy people so that more can be released through you and through others. But you get frustrated with yourself. I did it again. I did it again, Jesus. You're going to have to forgive me again. I forgive myself again because I got to forgive me too. You got to help me. You've got more for me. Listen, that's there for a reason. And like I said, the pain of staying where we are has got to be greater than the pain, because change is uncomfortable. Change is painful. But you know what? Change that's God change, we should settle for nothing less. We should not compromise what God, the dreams and the visions Amen. That God has placed on the inside of our hearts.
Amen.
Intimidated.
It's not bad. We're, you know, kind of in a nice little part of Dunn Avenue, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. But
not nice enough. The concept. Right.
See Publix. They see the.
Well, they see.
Vape shops. Like,
right.
That's what they picture.
Right.
The lawn shops. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. don't picture a church.
Well, and the news, every time there's a crime, it's on the north side of Jacksonville. And do you know why they say north side? Because it's north of the river that runs downtown. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the edges of downtown that's not, you know.
There are people that genuinely want what we have from us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Already, there are people that God's just waiting
Wait a minute.
Okay.
For us to make a move so they can.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There's so many things I want to say. We just don't have time, but. There, you know, we want to reach, if I can do this without crying, we want to reach these kids that are shooting each other on Lim Turner. We want to reach this place where people are so desperate that they're taking their own, you know, we got word here, it's been just a few months ago, about some fellow that lives out here. I'm not even going to refer to the area, but relatively successful, had his own business, everything looked wonderful. They found him in a wilderness area that he had shot himself, killed himself. You know, there's people out there that are so desperate, and I'll be honest with you, most churches aren't telling them that God has real answers. All they're doing is making excuses for the God they don't believe in. And God doesn't want excuses. He wants people to preach a life-changing gospel. And we've got that gospel, and there's people that we can reach. You know, Robin and I, we've got some friends, somebody I actually worked for them for a while, and you hear them say things, and, you know, they've been schooled in the traditional sense of what church teaches, and it's nothing to do with the Word of God, and it leaves them so empty and hopeless. And so, you know, we're dealing with a situation where there's people that need to hear things I don't even know they need to hear, people that need to hear things that don't even know these things exist. And we're dealing with people that are just flat hopeless, and they need something from the Word of God. And I don't care where God sends me. I don't care if I don't care what race he sends me to. As long as I can minister to somebody without being offensive, I don't care. To me, there's two races on this planet, saved and unsaved, and I want to get as many in the saved camp as I can. And so, you know, that's another thought as well. Be praying for us. If you're aware of a community center, I don't care if it's Beavers. I don't care where it's at. If you're aware of someplace that looks like they could hear, you know, they would be receptive, or whether they look like they'd be receptive or not, you know what? We'll go test the water. Just let us know, because we're not just wanting to go somewhere where it's all, we're wanting to reach this world. And Jesus didn't come for the righteous.
Praise right.
He came for the unrighteous. So
he did. And I want to say something. We are not going to, we're not going anywhere to start something on top of where a work of God's being done. People have done that over the years. People need to have more
people
integrity.
Have done that to
if
us.
You're in ministry, you need to have enough integrity to not go plant across the street from a church that's reaching the community.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to go into woods and, you know, we're
kind of like we are right now.
Right, swamp, you know. But one of the ways that we have learned through Grow, which was very insightful, is that they utilize small groups. They also utilize setting up services in schools very typically, and then they're able to check the pulse of the responsiveness of that area, of that community, because our gifts, the gift in you is worth of great worth to God. The gifts that are on the inside of us are of great worth. We need to respect the gifts on the inside of us. A lot of us have dismissed those gifts and thought, well, I can't do it as good as they can. Well, of course you can't, but you can do it the way you can do it, which is better than anyone else, because you're the only you. We need to respect the gifts on the inside of us. We need to treat the things of God with great honor. People go to work on time and won't even show up at church on time. And it's like, God, give us a new mindset. Help us to see eternal things are of greater worth than natural things. Because everything that we do in faith and love that we sow into is sown into eternity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine arriving in heaven and Jesus saying, I'm so glad that you did thus and so. I'm so glad that you were willing to such and such. And we're going to be like, oh, Jesus, I feel like going to flop down on the ground and say, you did it all. You are it all. You are everything. We are going to cast our crowns before him. But those crowns mean nothing unless we let Christ in us empower them. I want to say one more thing. I need to share one more thing as we're closing. I shared this Wednesday. I'm going to share it one more time. It's a natural side. We went over churches function in quarters. We looked at last year's first quarter. We did a comparison of last year's first quarter and 2016's first quarter. We reviewed the last quarter.
Let me interrupt you just a second. You know what? what Robin's about to share is regarding finance and support. Who wants to sow anything into something God's not in? Not me. And I don't even want to ask anybody to sow into. If I felt like this ministry was not doing something for God or being prepared to do something for God, I don't want to stand before God in heaven and say, look how much money we made.
Yes, sir. Dear God.
Amen. That isn't what it's about. We really would have. And the truth is, we've had to, since we've been here, we've had to believe God for our pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, since we've been here. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's always been very faithful to us. There have been some real tight times. There have been some learning experiences. Yes. But God's been faithful to us. The reason I'm saying that is I believe God has invested in this ministry. I believe he has supernaturally demonstrated it time and time again. And I'll be honest with you, looking at it in the natural, sometimes I shake my head, not because of you, but I shake my head and I wonder why, because it seems like we're just not really being that effective right now. And we want to, you know, and that's why we think in those terms. So go ahead.
Okay, this is natural, but there are natural measurements that point to supernatural provision. And what happened was we looked things over and conceived five families that have left over the
that were major supporters.
That were part of the support hub of the ministry here. Some had to move. You know, some had other things that they had to attend to in other cities and what have you. But anyway, so what we did is when we did a comparison, and I have drug my feet on this because I really didn't want to see it. I really didn't want to do the comparison, you know, and that's why I've always talked to people about get on a budget, get on a budget, get on a budget. You don't want to. You kind of feel like I really don't really want to know what's happening there.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
But anyway, it's worthwhile. We need to, and I told God, I remember before we started pulling this out and looking at the totals, I said, God, if we can't look at the truth with you, then you ain't God. So let's peel it back and let's take a look. And so what we saw was that from the first quarter of 2015, a comparison in the first quarter of 2016, the difference was only $20 a week. Now, here's what you got to get. We have had financial support that left that represented incomes of different families totaling $17,100. What does that mean? Well, that means that the 15 families who are supporting faithfully each week this church have experienced an increase. And if you pull out your phone and your calculator, I said this Wednesday, if you like numbers, here you go. Take $17,100, divide it by 15 families. And of course, it's not going to be exactly that for every family. But what it represents is those who have not run and listen. We've wanted to run, okay? I mean, we'd be lying if we said we hadn't felt like that. Who here hasn't? And I won't be mad at you. Who here hasn't felt like running? Haven't we all felt like running?
We had somebody come in and sit down to tell us they were leaving, and we wanted to ask if we could go too.
Can we go too? But what it means is that those who have not run, those who have seen, and listen, I know you're going, well, God, I don't understand what all's going on, but my heart says, stay put, stay put, stay put, keep your roots down, keep your roots down. It means that those who have done that, this isn't something we're doing or we're floating. God is clearly, divinely blessing and even bringing increase. And of course, like I said, it's 17,100 divided by 15 families. And it's not that doesn't mean every family's had, and listen, I know some of you right now are standing. I know people are standing for jobs or they're standing for promotions. We're praying for you every day. And we need to be in agreement, because what we're declaring is we're thanking God for supernatural increase, because God said it plain. He said, I'll bless those who bless you. And that doesn't just mean us, it means you. God will bless Amen. Those who bless you. You Amen. Do your best job. You work past the clock going at 5 o'clock. I don't care if you only do it till 5:05 or whatever your time frame is. Do extra, because you're not working for man. We're all working for God.
Amen.
And if we'll act like we're working for God, you will clearly differentiate yourself from every other person, because most people don't do that. Most people are going 60, 59, 58, 50, and they're standing at the punch out, you know, to hit the time card. Be willing to stay 5 minutes over. And yeah, I know a lot of times it turns into more to that. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. You know how to hear God. Don't do what I said to do because I said to do it. You listen to God for you. But when I'm telling you, we're standing and we're believing God for each one, because we've watched him do it over and over and over again. And he's in the process right now doing it for others as we keep our eyes fixed on him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, you're about 2 minutes. Actually, we got none to. We love y'all.